Today's Issues continues on AFR.
American Family Radio, Today's Issues is the network. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday edition. The last segment today, and then tomorrow we'll have a best of for the first hour of Today's Issues. And then, am I right on that, Mr. Producer? All right, thanks. Sometimes I say things and then I'm not sure if it's true or not, so I look over at Brennan, and he tells me whether I'm right or not. And then the last segment of Today's Issues tomorrow will be a Thanksgiving special from Dr. Ray Pritchard, who's still on the line with us, still on the show with us from Kansas City. Ray, welcome back to the last segment.
Hey, thank you so much. And folks, tune in tomorrow. This half hour, I'll be giving the AFR Thanksgiving special called Where Are the Nine? Where Are the Nine? At this hour, tomorrow morning.
Excellent, excellent. Steve Jordahl is joining us. Steve, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Walker. What you do not know is that when you say something that is not planned, they just go ahead behind the scenes and make it happen like you said it was.
There you go. That's nice. Right. Yeah, I appreciate people trying to clean up my mistakes. What you got in the news today?
Boy, a lot of stuff going on. Let's start with just an update on the fire. I like to keep everybody up to date on the Camp Fire up in Northern California. 75% contained as of late last night. 12,637 homes have been gone, plus thousands of other buildings. 81 fatalities, 870 still missing. They're having rain in Northern California, which is going to severely hamper the recovery efforts. It's going to help the firefighting efforts. If you'd like to know more about this, folks, we've got a couple stories at One News Now where I've interviewed a pastor, Tim Bolin, from the Paradise community. He's now staying with family in Chico nearby. You can read about what's going on there and listen to my entire interview there, but still got to remember to keep them in your prayers because they're not quite done with that tragedy there.
Do you know if, I know yesterday, I think you said the fire was 30% contained? I'm sorry, 70%. 30% left.
Yeah, it's up to 75% contained today.
All right.
They continue to strengthen that. And usually what they do with a containment is they will start with a containment process around places where structures are threatened, homes and everything. So I'm guessing since this started up by Camp Creek Road, which is why it's called the Camp Creek Fire up in a national forest, there's probably a lot of wood to burn. It would be going like northeast, away from towns and away from homes. That's the last they're going to work on containment.
You know, Ray, what I'm afraid of here, and there's been so much damage and devastation even right now that we've had happen the past few weeks, but these 1,000-plus people, individuals who are unaccounted for or missing, you know, some of them may have traveled out of state to stay with family and friends.
Right.
And they maybe just didn't let their neighbors know.
Sure.
But, Ray, I'm afraid that the death toll here is going to climb.
It's almost inevitable, isn't it, that if you've got that many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and you said it right, missing and or unaccounted for, surely some of those people are going to pop up. Mm-hmm. They just are, quote, off the grid at this moment. They didn't realize people are looking for them or whatever. But you have a feeling, don't you, that this death toll is not just going to rise, but rise dramatically in the next few months, because it's going to take some people, some remains, you hate to say it this way, but they just aren't going to be found for weeks or months. Winter is going to hit. Snow is going to come. Perhaps some people will never be found.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to read more about this, as Steve mentioned, if you go to onenewsnow.com, right at the bottom, and we'll post this on our Facebook page also, Today's Issues, but if you go to the bottom there, there's an article called California Church Scattered by Fire. Attempts to come together. That's the headline there, right at the bottom of onenewsnow.com, so you can read that. And I'm sure Steve will have a couple follow-up stories the next few weeks.
We're going to be following this. I hope to follow this for 6 months to a year, because it's going to take that long
to recover.
To recover or to find a new normal, whatever it is. And we will, at One News Now, we'll gather all these stories at a landing page so that we can just go to one spot and you can see all the stories, all the interviews, and keep up and pray for the community there.
Excellent, excellent.
I wanted to talk about a couple judicial decisions that have come in the last 24 hours that neither one of them are very good, and one of them just doesn't make sense to me. But the first one is a federal judge in Mississippi, which has permanently blocked Mississippi's pro-life law, which said that you cannot have an abortion after 15 weeks. I think it was because of fetal pain. A judge there, the federal judge, said you clearly, according to the law, the judge says you cannot have any kind of a restriction on abortion before the time of viability of the fetus. Mm-hmm. That's down to about 20, 21 weeks now. 15 right. weeks, he says, is well under 21 weeks, so I'm striking the law down. So,
and this was Judge Carlton Reeves, which for those of us in Mississippi are very familiar with this judge down in Jackson. And it seems that, and I've asked our staff here to look into this, and that is why Judge Carlton Reeves always gets to rule on these very, very important and controversial cases. He's ruled on the RFRA bill. He's ruled on the 1523, the Religious Liberty Bill, a couple years ago. So it's interesting how we have over a dozen federal judges in Jackson, and Judge Carlton Reeves gets the most controversial cases. I'm sure there's some nuances behind the scenes here that I don't know about it as far as procedure, but it would be interesting to know that.
Well, Ray, the same thing happened in California a lot when they were going through the marriage stuff. The same right. guy on the California Supreme Court, I can't remember the judge's name, but he always seemed, every time, would be the one who drew the lot. they'd roll the right. dice to see who gets it. He was the one that got those cases. So I don't know. You think there's some court chopping going on here?
Yes, probably. And maybe you would think that more likely in California than in Jackson, Mississippi. But really, who knows? Maybe the bigger point to be made here is for all the efforts, and God bless the pro-life army in Mississippi and up in Ohio and across the country. I mean, the pro-lifers who have worked so hard for so many years. But I think this kind of decision points to the fact that ultimately, we're not going to see an end to the scourge of abortion until two things happen. First, there's got to be a great change in the hearts of the American people. Mm-hmm. And second, we've got to have a Supreme Court that is going to stand up and take the side of life. Because until that happens, there's always going to be a federal judge somewhere who's going to strike down every piece of pro-life legislation. That is not going to end until, well, the hearts have got to change, and we've got to have do we have enough on the Supreme Court now, or do we need one more? Who knows? But yeah. It seems like that's where the answer has got to come.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the good thing here is that Mississippi's attorneys and the governor's law team, they win these cases very, very often when they appeal Judge Carlton Reeves' rulings to the Fifth Circuit. I mean, the Fifth Circuit strikes down Judge Reeves, it seems like, at least once a year on these big cases. So I'm sure that the governor will appeal this to the Fifth Circuit, and then we'll probably keep an eye on it.
Well, Jim Hood, the attorney general in Mississippi, is a Democrat. He will do the bidding of the state, but...
Well, actually, that's true that he is the state attorney, but the good thing we've had... It's unfortunate. Jim Hood, the attorney general in Mississippi, as you mentioned, is a Democrat. He's refused at times to defend these cases that are state government cases where he's supposed to be the lawyer for the state. But we really don't want someone defending Mississippi who doesn't believe in our values. And so thankfully, Governor Bryan, and we've spoken to Governor Bryan's office about this, they've hired outside law firms using state dollars to defend these cases at the Fifth Circuit. And that's really helped, I think, in the arguments.
Absolutely. Another case out of Minnesota that just came out that is shocking a whole lot of people. A federal judge has struck down. Now, folks, we're going to be talking about stuff that's a little sensitive here. If you want to make sure that your kids are otherwise occupied, that might not be a bad idea. But this judge in Michigan has struck down the nation's female genital mutilation law. It's about a 22-year-old federal law. And it criminalizes what's known as FGM, or female genital mutilation, sometimes called female circumcision. You can figure out from there what that does. It's different than the male version of that because it permanently impairs a woman
right.
From sexual function and sexual enjoyment down the road. It's often associated with a religious practice, Muslims sometimes, and in fact, the doctors and the parents that took these little girls, 7, 8, 9-year-old girls, to the doctor to have this procedure done have been let off. They were charged under this law. They've been let off now because the judge says this is a federal issue. It's not a – it's a state issue, not a federal issue. We want the states to rule on this. This is a crime that's occurring within the boundaries of Michigan, and it, since they're not going across state lines or whatever thing, the because of federalism, the government does not have a reason to weigh in here. 22 years, Ray, this is the first time this law has ever been challenged.
So he was the judge was making the argument on the basis of what, the Commerce Clause?
Yeah.
That, and he was saying that this is not interstate commerce. So this is a ghastly ruling, a ghastly ruling. For 22 years, the law has been in force, and people have not questioned it. This is for the protection of young girls everywhere across America. So what is the judge saying? He wants 50 different state legislatures to decide. He wants Mississippi to decide and Georgia to decide and Michigan. He doesn't want the Congress to decide for the whole nation. Is that basically it?
He says the Congress does not have the right to decide for the whole nation because it's a federalism issue. 27 states have laws that criminalize the practice, but that leaves 23 states that do not. My question, I guess, and this is where I tried to stop by and ask Abraham Hamilton, if he had a thought about this. But, you know, he's big time here, and he's already left.
He's so busy, isn't he?
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to ask, this is the argument that we've been making with the Roe v. Wade decision, which is national, it's not even a law. There's not even a law. This at least is a 27-year-old or 22-year-old law that the judge is striking down as unconstitutional. In Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court just decided to make law out of thin air. But this is the argument we've been making, that it should be up to the states. If you're going to say that it's up to the states with FGM, then you probably should have to say it's up to the states with abortion. They're kind of similar in that they harm, or in one case, kill a living being.
Yeah, you know, this is odd, to say the least, that this judge has overruled a federal law. He's outlawed a federal law because this, if one judge, this is what's so dangerous. One judge should not be able to overrule 535 lawmakers and the president's signature on a law, because if that's the case, then what's the point of having Congress and the White House if the federal judges can tell us what's good law and what's bad law?
The federal judge's job is to pass ruling or to reconcile the current laws with the Constitution. I agree with you in one sense that the federal judge shouldn't be able to do it nationwide. We've been seeing this more often. Out of the Ninth Circuit, the travel ban, as it was called, or whatever they're calling it now, a judge in Hawaii struck it down for the whole country. Well, that's the job of the Supreme Court. The job of the federal courts is to make sure that our laws that are passed by Congress do not run afoul of the Constitution. That's where they go to judge and weigh between the Constitution and the current law. So the judge does have a right, at least in whatever circuit that he's writing in.
The thing we could take from here is, well, two things. Number one, we need these federal judges to be impeached or replaced, and that's why we need a conservative president to appoint constitutional judges to these places. The second thing is that this is also why we need a conservative and constitutional Supreme Court, so that should these lower court judges get it wrong, like they often do, the case can be appealed and ruled on correctly and constitutionally at the Supreme Court. That's what makes the White House so, so very important, and the Senate.
Is this case going to be appealed, Steve?
I'm absolutely without any doubt that it will be appealed, but again, I don't know. It has to go. I have to look at what circuit the Michigan is in. I'm not sure, but it will be appealed, and then ultimately,
Yeah.
If they appeal it, they could appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court. There's no guarantee that the Supreme Court would take it, but they can do that.
Yeah, and this might prompt states who haven't created state laws against this. This is a no-brainer.
You would think,
right.
That states will begin immediately passing these laws against this, and it should all 50 states should unanimously. I mean, this is like whether we're going to allow child abuse or not. I mean, this is
That's
a no-brainer.
Exactly right.
So hopefully this will prompt states to get into action on this.
Indeed. There is a new study out, some research done by our friends at the Family Research Council. You hear Tony Perkins, the head of that group on Washington Watch here on AFR. And they have put together a fact sheet on the Obamacare's payment of abortions in insurance plans offered on the Obamacare plans. What they have found is that individual and family exchange plans, if you're going to go to the Obamacare Exchange, the Affordable Care Act website, and get a plan for your family or for yourself, in 24 states in the District of Columbia, they are going to allow abortion coverage in that exchange. That's up 53% in 2018 over 2017. So that means that in 24 states and D.C., if you are a taxpayer there, your money, because these are plans that are offered by the federal government, your money is going into that. In 8 states in the District of Columbia, there are no options for pro-lifers to pull out of those plans. There's no other options. There's no pro-life option where you're not paying or funding abortion. A taxpayer funding for abortion, despite the laws in here, and despite President Obama's promise, as we saw yesterday, that he was going to not use any taxpayer dollars to fund abortion.
Yeah, this goes back to when your representative and your senator tell you that, well, you know, your taxpayer's not going to fund abortion. You know, we have the Hyde Amendment. I mean, we're protected here. We're not sending money to abortion to carry out abortions. When you dig into the details and all of the thousands of pages of federal law and budgets and stuff, it turns out on at least more than one occasion you have tax dollars going to Planned Parenthood, who then turns around and performs abortions. And then you have, in this case, some of these Obamacare dollars going to prop up abortions also, at least in 26 states. That's upsetting to say it lightly.
There's work to be done, mm-hmm. I think.
Much work to be done. I mean, the Democrats have virtually raised, you hate to say it, they've raised abortion almost to the level of a sacrament. It's almost a religious thing with some of them, mm-hmm. that they cannot countenance the idea of any limitations on abortion whatsoever, which is why the battle still rages some, 45 years now since Roe v. Wade was, since that decision came down. I think our work, Steve, as you said, our work is just beginning after all these years. We've got to, we need some leaders who will be as strong for life after they are elected as they were when they were campaigning for our votes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And this we may see Roe versus Wade, Steve, brought up or brought into question before the Supreme Court. We could be mighty surprised in the next 4 to 5 years should President Trump get to appoint one or two more Supreme Court justices and a case somehow weaves its way up through the federal courts to the Supreme Court. This is why, I mean, what happens now, what judges we have put on the Supreme Court now is huge.
Yeah.
And we could, if that'll be one of the most important cases before the Supreme Court, since Roe versus Wade.
Well, undoing Roe versus Wade would certainly be a seminal moment, I think, in our jurisprudence. There's many, many people that have commented on the given, you put aside the morality of abortion or the immorality of abortion or the arguments for and against life, just looking at the Supreme Court decision saying that there's no basis. Like I said, it's not anchored to a law that they say is unconstitutional.
Right. Right.
They just came and said, yeah, we think women should have abortions. And
right.
That and Doe v. Bolton, the two sister cases mm-hmm. That made abortion legal throughout the country, were just kind of grabbed out of thin air.
Right.
And there's a lot of people, even those who may think that abortion isn't a bad thing necessarily, that think legally this is on shaky ground.
Yeah, and this is the prime reason, and Ray hinted at this, why we keep fighting, because I'm sure in 1973, after the ruling, folks were discouraged. They said this is never going to be overturned. This is the Supreme Court making this ruling. But this shows, this proves the fact that we may see this brought up before the Supreme Court soon, that we got to keep fighting as Christians, keep fighting for what we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the battle's never over.
Indeed.
Well, this goes back to our doctrine of the sovereignty of God, doesn't it? Because underneath our politics, there's theology on every side. And we believe God works his purposes out, not just across the years, but across the decades and the generations. We serve a transgenerational God. I'm actually saying this the day before Thanksgiving, just to give us all a little bit of hope, because it has been a long slog, this pro-life battle. And I've talked to a lot of pro-life people over the years who've gotten discouraged because we've had any number of setbacks. But our God is on the side of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is on the side of life. He is working his purposes out. So, my friends, do not be discouraged. I wasn't planning on giving this little devotional, but do not be discouraged.
Amen.
Our God reigns. And if we keep working and praying, we're going to see the day when the scourge of abortion comes to an end. And we pray that day comes sooner rather than later. But in any case, we will not give up the fight because we serve a great God who is working his purposes out in history.
Mm. Indeed, we do. Hey, Ray, have you been thinking about Christmas shopping? You know, Black Friday is the day after tomorrow.
Every day. Every day.
Have you started doing it?
I'm behind already, Steve.
Are you? I might still be behind from last Christmas. I'm just saying.
I know. Tomorrow's Black Friday, right?
No, the day after tomorrow. Yes. Tomorrow's Thursday.
Thank you. I'm all messed up. Yes, the day after, right.
And then there's Cyber Monday. So,
right.
Walker, we are reminding our listeners and our supporters here at AFA that maybe there's some places that they should avoid if we're going to be shopping for Christmas. Do you want to talk about that?
The Target boycott continues. We're past 2 years now, going on 3 years this upcoming April, of the Target boycott. And the whole reason, to refresh our listeners, that AFA is boycotting Target is because in April of 2015, I believe, or maybe it was April 2016, Target announced that they would open their restrooms to both men and women, which means men can go in women's restrooms and women can go in men's restrooms. So for that reason, AFA began a boycott of Target because that's dangerous. We don't need men in the same restrooms as our little girls. And the Target boycott continues, especially this Christmas. So when you're out doing your Christmas shopping, make sure that you're boycotting Target. And if you want to know, on a similar note, if you want to know where to shop for Christmas, we actually have a Christmas list of family-friendly and Christmas-friendly retailers that you can visit. We'll put this up on our Facebook page. But the website here is afa.net/Christmas, afa.net/Christmas. Check out the naughty or nice list there and see where the best place to do some Christmas shopping is. Ray, thank you for being on today.
Well, thank you, Walker, and happy Thanksgiving to you and to you, Steve, and to all of our listeners. We ought to be grateful because God is very good.
That's right.
Yep.
Appreciate it, Steve.
My pleasure.
All right, folks, have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. Spend some time with family, friends. Be thankful, as Ray said, and also be safe traveling. God bless. Stay tuned to American Family Radio.